Welcome to Truth Talk for Conscious Entrepreneurs. This is your host, Emma Churchman. Welcome to a limited series I've created titled Cleared for Profit, Heal Your Trauma to Grow Your Business, where I interview experts on how trauma informs your business.
Welcome to this limited series podcast on how trauma informs our business. We've got today joining us Winnie Anderson, and Winnie works with coaches and consultants who recognize how their behavior, how their thought patterns, which developed as a result of trauma, informs their business today and really how it holds them back. So I'm particularly interested in talking with Winnie today because she specifically coaches these women in business to break free from the trauma and the effect that it has on their business, to let go of self-defeating thoughts and disempowering patterns, to gain confidence, to position and market themselves in their industries, and to really stand in their own power. So Winnie, welcome. I'm delighted you're here today.
Thanks, Emma. I'm super excited to be with you today.
Cool. All right. So what inspired you to start working with trauma?
Well, like so many coaches and consultants, we find ourselves doing the work around something that we ourselves are working to heal from or have an ongoing issue with. And I'm a triple threat. I'm a survivor of child abuse, abusive work environments, and I also have a traumatic brain injury from a car accident. So I came to realize that patterns that I developed to survive those kind of abusive environments or the physical trauma were now actively holding me back. So things like perfectionism, compulsive people pleasing, conflict avoidance, fear of standing out, fear of honestly speaking my truth, my opinions, those sorts of things. And when I confronted this in myself and began my healing journey, I began to recognize similar patterns and, frankly, excuse making very often in my own clients. It didn't matter how powerful the strategies were that I created for them if they couldn't bring themselves or wouldn't bring themselves to take action. And as I started to tell my story, that seemed to give them the freedom to say, it was like my own Me Too moment, frankly. And I was then able to help them recognize that they were repeating, which, you know, that's the nature of patterns, they were repeating these behaviors over and over again. And then they could start the journey to stop those behaviors and start adopting the more powerful kinds of confident behaviors and courage that they needed to really become who they were meant to be.
Wow, I love that. You know, Winnie, one thing that was occurring to me as you were speaking was the importance of the role of our own responsibility in our trauma patterns. And this is this is often a touchy subject for anyone who comes from physical, sexual, emotional abuse. It is very challenging to hear that even though someone else may have perpetrated the abuse, you are equally responsible for ensuring that the ramifications of that abuse does not continue to play out in your life and your business. How do you address that with women?
As children, we're victims. Okay, we are victims. We're powerless, especially when the abuse, you know, as often happens, it happens from a family member, it happens from somebody we know usually. We're true victims then. As we then move through our lives, because our family is the first organization that we're members of, and even if you grow up in the most healthy environment, we develop patterns of behavior in response to what's going on in our lives. So then we move into school, and now some of that victim mentality, which has been ingrained in us if we were abused as children in our family of origin, now moves into this new area where we feel powerless. And then we move into the workplace where, again, we may very well feel powerless if we have not developed the self-awareness of what's going on in our lives. So I agree that at some point we have to recognize we're not getting what we want, and we're responsible for our own success. We're responsible for our own happiness. We're responsible for our own actions, reactions, and lives. So it requires, I think, recognizing that as you grow, you know, hey, you got to stand up for yourself, and having the ability to be compassionate for that young person that you were, and also recognizing that, you know, we all do the best we can in any given moment. And I try to encourage people to forgive themselves. Don't blame yourself. Don't say, I should have, you know, reacted better. I should have stood up to my mom and told her to shut up, and that I, you know, about the mean stuff she said to me. Hey, you did the best you could in the moment. So have compassion on yourself, but recognize that at some point you're in charge of your own life. And there's a, I'm going to mangle this quote, but I heard a great quote that said, each of us plays a role in the movie of other people's lives. Sometimes we're an extra. Sometimes we're a supporting player. Sometimes we're a co-star, and sometimes we're a lead. The same thing is true in our own lives, and we play the leading role. So we have to remember that we've got to, you know, whatever happened to us, part of it was what was going on in that other person's life. Yes, it happened to us, but as Byron Katie says, it really happens for us. We know that it's in adversity that we really learn the great lessons, but unfortunately, we have to repeat them sometimes before we really learn them.
Right, absolutely. Yeah, and I certainly agree with that. And you lifted up something which I think is so critical for those of us who come from especially childhood abuse, this notion of forgiveness, because we're often taught that we need to forgive our mother or father or whoever impacted us in a significantly negative way. But the piece that's not talked about as much is the role of forgiving ourselves. And for me personally, it took me years to figure out that that self-forgiveness was where I was most stuck, because I didn't even have a paradigm that was part of what needed to happen in order for my healing to truly begin.
Amen. Amen. As children, as little entities, we're naturally, well, I think people in general are naturally self-centered, but especially kids, you know, and a common thought process for a child is if the family has broken up, right, the parents divorce, there's something I did. It's because of me, right? Because we just don't understand. Our little brains are forming. And so when you think about if the abuse is perpetrated, and I'll just use myself as an example, my mother was my abuser. My father was an enabler. And so, you're trying to understand how your own mother could possibly hate you, because that's what you think, right? Because that's what it feels like. Like, how can you possibly hate me? I don't know anybody else's whose mommy treats them like that, right? I don't know anybody else who thinks their mommy hates them, right? And that little girl mind. So you must think that you have done something. And in a multi-child household, I was one of four, there is typically, everybody gets it, but there is typically one child who is the center of attention, who's the center of the abuse. And that was me. So as the child who's the center of the abuse looks at the experience of the other children in the family and thinks, they don't get it nearly as bad as I do, which is accurate, then that becomes that just reinforces the belief that I'm doing something to create this. When in reality, you're trapped in that movie that, you know, in my case was my mom's. My mom was an angry person who took her anger out on us, in a nutshell. And it took me a long time to recognize that's what was going on. And then, of course, then there's the, well, you're the grown up. Why can't you control yourself, right? So I do. I think it is a very challenging process to go through. And it's natural for the child then to think, I did something, I'm wrong, I'm bad. And so, yes, you nailed it. Forgiving yourself is the most important piece here. Having compassion for yourself.
So, Winnie, how do you see those patterns, especially of early childhood trauma, affecting entrepreneurs in business?
Well, the patterns are leading to your survival in that initial organization. They get reinforced as you move through school, which is its own hotbed of dysfunctionality, and then they get reinforced again in the workplace. So these patterns helped you survive and even thrive in really dysfunctional places. But then what happens is, because they then become so ingrained, you're out on your own. It's all of a sudden when you realize you come face to face with something that triggers you, and you are doing naturally anything you can to avoid the feeling of pain that you once felt. So an example is how in corporate life, we can't speak the truth. We can't fully speak opinions quite often. We're labeled not a team player. We're labeled as negative when we're just trying to point out, you know, some kind of realistic risk with whatever it is we're discussing, right? So as we've had that reinforced and it led to our success, manager, director, VP, SVP, then out on your own, you're trying not to speak the truth. You're trying to dance around the issue. You're using language that is too soft. You can't stand out. So that's just one example of how that kind of pattern can actually lead to, not as much success as you would like to have, to put it mildly. Another example is fear of making a mistake, right? We've worked in corporate experiences where somebody made any kind of mistake, and who wants to make a mistake, right? Especially in a corporate existence, but they're going to happen. And depending on the nature of the mistake and the nature of the dysfunction in your environment, you're abused. I've sat in meetings where people have been called out for, okay, it was a typo, we're talking, a literal, okay, it's a mistake. And the person's been humiliated. I know people who had to quit their job because they got labeled in a way that led to them, they were just never going to get promoted or have any kind of career advancement in their organization. So as you then are out on your own and you find yourself in situations that resemble these situations from your past, it triggers you and you will practice avoidance. You will become an even more compulsive people pleaser. You're under charge. You'll, say things just to make people feel good where, we have to stand up and say, no, that's not good. And so those are the kinds of examples of patterns that we get caught up in and how they'll play out in the workplace. And it's that low self-esteem that you're carrying with you that will really amplify things.
Oh, absolutely. Well, and especially in relationship to failure, because for people running their own business, failure is going to happen. And failure can actually be really healthy, I think, for business, because it teaches you a lot about yourself and helps you get closer to your goal, to the outcome that you desire. But in order to start moving towards a goal, you've got to be willing to fail. And there are so many entrepreneurs I've found who are terrified of failing because they had such negative repercussions if they, quote unquote, failed in early childhood. If a parent would demean them or belittle them for doing something wrong, with the, which the child at that time may not have even understood was wrong. So the result is that entrepreneur has a pretty warped sense of how to fail in a healthy way, and it can really tie the hands of the entrepreneur and keep them from being able to grow their own businesses.
Amen. Absolutely. That's a huge one. And I think a part of that, and what you said around that they failed, is also the fact that we didn't even know what we wanted. You know, did we have a clear definition of how we were going to define success? I'll just pick something for that email campaign we sent out. Did we have a definition of success? No. And often we don't even have a clear definition of who we are and how we define success, because our whole lives, beliefs have been heaped on us by other people as we navigate through these three main organizations that we're part of: home, school, and then work. And we spend decades supporting the objectives of a company. And so we go out on our own and don't even fully know who we are and how we define success and what we're trying to really create, other than I want to make money and I want some freedom.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And alongside that, I often find that entrepreneurs who come from trauma are not able to access their own desire. So when you Yes. say that they don't know what they want, what that really means is they know they don't want to work in corporate anymore or have a day job, but they don't necessarily even have access to their deepest soul's Amen. Longing, their deepest purpose in the world. And that really is going to interfere with growing your business, because you've got to be able to overcome this hurdle of perpetually being in the unknown. And if your response to the unknown is fear, because the unknown was dangerous when you were a child, you're not going to be able to move through the unknown. What's going to carry you through is desire. But if you are so detached from your own deepest longing because it wasn't safe to have desire as a child, that is really a recipe for disaster in business.
Oh my gosh. Amen. And how many of us have spent time in family, school, and work where our desires, our wishes were told they were wrong, right? Oh, you don't really feel that way. You don't really want that job. You don't really want to, you know, be an artist. You don't really want to. I thought I did. And yeah, it's, amen. I could go on about that for hours.
So, Winnie, what is the practice that you have used to transform your relationship to trauma?
First of all, just acknowledging that, you know, that it happened, and that it happened in more than one way. You know, going through life, there are just daily little minor traumas that over time can build up. But I think the biggest thing that's helped me is staying mindful, being self-aware, and recognizing when I'm not taking action, there's a reason for that. And then looking through that, I developed a worksheet to take myself and my clients through it, to help me think through, what am I doing? What do I want? And what am I doing that's not getting me what I want? And then recognizing, and again, giving myself compassion for, okay, that was me being unaware. Now that I am aware, I'm going to consciously make this choice, and I'm going to take action. So I really do think that it's mindfulness combined with self-awareness and compassion that helps me.
Awesome. Awesome. I love that. Can you share with us how you help people work through trauma as it relates to their business?
Yeah, I can. What I do is, you know, I'm not a therapist. I don't practice therapy. But what I do is help people recognize that what they're doing is not getting them what they want. So that speaks to, first of all, clarifying exactly what it is that you want, making sure that you're crystal clear on exactly what you want all the time. What do you want in this activity? What do you want from this action? Then just shining a light when you get most frustrated, what are you actually doing and what do you really need to do, want to do to produce that result? All right, well, let go. Give yourself forgiveness, right? So we work through all of that, help them stay focused. And one of the little known realizations here is that a lot of symptoms of ADD, ADHD mimic symptoms of childhood trauma. So if you find yourself getting distracted, having a short attention span, grasping at straws, procrastinating, those are not just signs that you may have ADD, and we all know that, you know, there's entrepreneurial ADD. They could be very good signs that you did experience trauma of some sort in your childhood. So again, and in your whole growth pattern. So it's helping people stay aware, create a solid plan, and then stick to that plan. I do not kick you, push you. You know, I'm not a kick butt coach. I tell people I will love you all the way to success, and I help them stay true to themselves.
Beautiful, beautiful. Any advice you have for listeners about addressing trauma in their businesses?
Yeah, first of all, is recognize that to be able to achieve what you want, you know, if you're not able to take specific actions, you have to be compassionate to yourself. Working harder is not the answer. Pushing harder is not the answer. It's giving yourself permission to recognize that you have gone through not just something, some things that have left emotional wounds. And the strategies that you adopted to deal with them really did lead to your success. It's now that they're not working, and that we're just going to make, you just need to make changes, make adjustments, examine your things like your business model. Is it really supporting you? The frameworks that support your business model, are they supporting your personality and supporting yourself? So really be compassionate and recognize that, yep, you got to be successful navigating all that crappy stuff. And now it's a matter of making a shift so that you can reach that next level of success on your own as an independent professional. And believe me, you can do it. You play the hand you're dealt, but you play it to win. You don't play not to lose.
Oh, Winnie, I love that. Yeah, that's brilliant. So how can folks learn more about you?
They can go to my website, WinnieAnderson.com, and if they go to WinnieAnderson.com/Emma, I'll have some resources that I mentioned and I kind of alluded to all on that page, and they can check some things out there and learn more about me and the work I do and start to think about how trauma may be holding them back.
Beautiful. Well, thank you so much for being on the show. I love talking with you. I loved your insights. Y'all definitely go and check out Winnie's webpage. We'll post that in the show notes. Winnie, thank you so much for being with us.
You are so welcome, Emma. I love chatting with you.
Are you a conscious entrepreneur who has hit a financial ceiling in your business? Do you find yourself up in the middle of the night wondering where your next sale is going to come from? Do you struggle with working harder and harder yet not getting better results? Do you have a deep desire to take your business to the next level, but you aren't sure how to get there? If so, let's talk. I offer 30-minute complimentary consultations specifically designed to help diagnose what's keeping you from growing your business. To schedule your consultation, go to emmachurchman.com/consult Emma.